You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Kevin Miller and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
And welcome to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. Your host, Tommy Ahlquist, Kevin Miller with you here, where we seek to, well, Tommy, what do we seek to do?
We seek to inspire excellence, Kevin. And this is our first episode. We had talked about doing something like this, but there are so many great stories and great people and great leaders in our community. There's a lot of things that we can talk about that I believe if we can get the dialogue going around issues that matter to people, we can inspire people. That's what it's all about. So here we go. Our first one ever. You know, Kevin and I have a little joke back and forth. I call him I don't know if you've seen Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood. You know, that grumpy old guy. Yes. So it's like, that's Kevin in my life. And now, so I'm going to be the optimist and Kevin could be the Gran Torino Clint Eastwood guy.
Yes, that would be me. All my life I've worked to be either a giant turkey or Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. Before we get to our guest though, what inspires you, Tommy?
Oh, people inspire me. I think coming off the campaign I just had, one of the things that people say, what was the biggest lesson learned, blessing from the campaign? It was the people I met. People that love the state, people that love their families, that love God, that love this country. And you get inspired by people. Lots of stories of people making a difference in the lives of others. So that's hopefully what we get out of this. Actually, at the end of each podcast, that's the last question we're going to ask is, what inspires you? And hopefully we get a catalog of what inspires the great leaders that we have on these shows. So,
and we have some great leaders here from the three big cities here in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah.
We have Mayor Nan Colas joining us. Mayor Nan Colas, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mayor Tammy DeWeard. Mayor Tammy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be part of the inaugural podcast.
That's the big three. That's right. Mayor Kling, thank you for joining us as well. It's all official here. Tommy's going to hit me in a minute and say, hey, chill out, but welcome.
It's awesome. Thank you. And I love the excellence topic. Good for you.
Good. To be clear, we invited Mayor Beter, and he actually didn't say heck no. He said he would have been here if he had another engagement, but
sure.
Even Kevin couldn't scare him away.
Well, when you have the physique of a bell pepper, you're pretty intimidating, so yes.
All right.
So when we take a look at the biggest challenges that you all have, Mayor Nan Colas, why don't we start with you?
Well, thank you very much. Again, it's a pleasure to be here. Challenges are, to me, are opportunities to evaluate and do things better, but there truly are some challenges. As you know, we've been growing in leaps and bounds over the past few years, as the whole Treasure Valley has. But really, there's two things that we're dealing with. One is people. They're your most valuable asset. But right now, we're having trouble filling some of the jobs that we need to have to keep things rolling. The job market is the unemployment rate is extremely low, as you know, which is a good thing, but it's also, it does create challenges in that we are having trouble filling positions. And so that's one issue that we are dealing with, is finding folks to come in and carry on the message and the mission that we've established over there in Caldwell, because there are so many jobs available out there in the world that it's just hard sometimes to get them. The second thing, transportation. There's no question, keeping up with the cost of building new roads, sidewalks, curb, gutter, the infrastructure that we need to keep people moving and goods moving in this valley, but also in Caldwell. That's a huge issue for us. The cost is out of this world. As you know, Tommy, in trying to build anything right now, the cost has gone up dramatically. So as we try to look at our future and how we're going to continue to prosper, bring in businesses, keep the businesses that are there thriving, transportation is a huge issue for us.
I think those were ones we thought we'd hear. Mayor Tammy.
Oh, well, I think you'll see that transportation traffic is a common denominator of all of our cities. But we do a city survey, and last year the top three came in as traffic, schools, and growth. As one of the fastest growing communities in the nation for over a decade, you can imagine that does cause some challenges, and also a blessing and a curse is being the center of the Treasure Valley. We accommodate everyone's cars, not just our own growth, and we have local roads that need improvement and state facilities that surround us on all sides that do as well. and they're far behind really addressing those needs because of funding concerns, for sure. The schools is a concern among our community, but I hold listening tours, and I just concluded them last month, and the residents I use as truthing feedback and being able to elaborate and fill in gaps. And there was a couple of that said, you know, the schools are crowded, but they've been crowded for several decades. The quality of the education continues to be provided by the West Data School District. And we could stand our kids up against any kids across the country. And I know from my daughter, my youngest, that just got a master's degree, she had no problem in her academics in the upper in college and in her graduate program because she had a strong foundation that was really ingrained with our West Data School District education.
So NAMPA.
Yes.
Should we talk about, yeah, with the challenges? You know what? When we talk about growth and the challenges of growth, I'm reminded that cities across this nation, there are a few that actually have been declining. And so it's always nice to look at the positive side because I would rather face the challenge of growth than the challenge of a declining population. And so we live in such an amazing area, great communities that people want to come share with us, right? So in surveying our NAMPA citizens, streets were their biggest issue. We've got to fund streets. Canyon County is different than Ada County in that Ada County has ACHD. Canyon County, we have a number of highway districts, and the city itself, we fund out of the general fund, we fund streets. And so it is a little bit harder to fund those streets. The other area, and so with growth, it's transportation, right? It's the streets that we've already talked about. The other one is public safety. As we're growing, you have to grow your city budgets to accommodate the additional police force that it takes. And if we're not doing that, then we get behind. And so I think that's another area that is challenging for us, is looking at public safety and then the infrastructure of streets. The other one we haven't touched on is wastewater, because we're all looking at wastewater. Upgrades to our facilities, and with growth comes expanded wastewater systems. And so we're in the midst of that, and it's on the plan and the radar. It'll be done in 2026, and it's necessary.
A couple of follow-ups. When I didn't realize the EPA regulations and how they've affected everyone over the last couple of decades. And I'll tell you, there are cities around this state that are crippled by EPA regulations. You know, some of them are great. We all love clean water. This is our place to live. But some of them were just insane, meaning that the worst one I heard when I was around the state of Idaho was that the water was too cold going into the river out of the waste treatment facility. And they actually had to warm the water, which was crazy. Lots of fines and fees, but phosphate is the biggest one that I know you're dealing with. The level of that phosphate that has to be discharged out of the back end of this is a problem. I also want to go back to a couple things. I think transportation is important. We hear it all the time, but what are the solutions? You've got a bunch of people listening out there now, citizens. What can we do? Because I do know a couple of things that I want you to hit on. One, I think the funding for the right-of-way for the connection now between Highway 16 and the freeway is a big deal. I think that will change the valley. And I think that $90 million that was just funded is a really, really big deal. Maybe your thoughts on that. And then secondly, we are now the only state in the nation that doesn't have any state funding for public transportation. At some point, it can't be just right away in roads, but we've got to have some sort of a system, especially in the Treasure Valley, that people can use public transportation. But can you maybe jump in and comment on a couple of those?
Well, sure. We cannot continue to just predict and provide because it's too expensive. And for quality of life and a lot of the companies that are looking at this area, public transportation is a big deal for their employees, for the quality of life. It costs huge money to build parking lots, right? So the cost of land, the cost of building that infrastructure. So there's no question that we have to have a funding mechanism that is sustainable. Something that we can count on. Right now, we're struggling in our budgets, as Mayor Kling said, trying to hire people and safety services, and yet we have to take money out of our budgets every year to basically pay for public transportation. That's a very, very mediocre system in our side of the valley. Don't get me wrong, we're doing the best we can, but it's not robust. And so if we're going to do that, we need to have the legislature allow local folks to make local decisions. And that's something that we've been talking about for now decades. You know, it's the closest to the people. These, if you present a plan, if they like it, if they want to fund it, and they vote for it, that's the most, you know, appropriate type of governance that there is. So for me, public transportation is a really big issue in trying to figure out the congestion issue in this valley.
But I think it's more than just funding, because we do have a tool that you could go out and suggest the bond, but then you put all the burden on property taxes. So the local option tax, we have to be more creative in the tools that we offer local areas to be part of the solution. I was very discouraged that the Ada County Highway District registration fee increase did not pass, and frankly, I was baffled by that, because that is the number one thing that I hear people complain about, that they have to be willing to be part of the solution too. One of the things that I hope at some point that this podcast does is to talk about development and dispel some of the myths that you only make money and you're not spending any. So, you know, people don't know that local roads are built by the development. They don't know that impact fees pay for arterial expansion. And there's a lot of things that are not understood, but we do need better tools for transportation.
Mayor Cleland, I will get to you. Let me just jump in there. I just got today a bill from ACHD. We're building right outside these windows here, a 10,000 square foot building. So think about that, small building. The ACHD fee for that building is $1 billion, $120,000 that we will pay. That does not exist anywhere else. So you're right. I mean, there is a myth that, hey, you're not paying your way as you go, but you can't just do that. You need to have more tools. I think that's where are those solutions going to come from, though? I mean, how do we do that? How do we empower people to be involved to get government the tools that it needs to be able to accommodate these things? Because I tell you what's going to happen. We're going to have gridlock here very soon, right? People are moving here like crazy. There's no plan for funding. There's lots of plans for growth, but there's no plans for funding. What do you think, Mayor?
Well, so in Napa, we are looking at our impact fees, because the one thing that we're hearing people say is growth needs to fund growth. The people that are already here feel like they're paying their dues, but they need the people that are coming in to help offset those costs. So they're wanting growth to fund growth. We're increasing our impact fees, but actually our impact fees are just really now coming to match Meridian and Boise. We're going to be ahead of Caldwell on our impact fees because we haven't been charging them. And there's a little bit of pushback from the developers. The other thing that we're changing with our impact fees is that the exaction from the developers, where we were asking them to do some of that, some of the development, the road development, is going to go towards signals. Mm-hmm. Because signals, sometimes the stats show in the movement of traffic that you may stay with that same road, but you're going to move a lot more traffic if you deal with your intersections. And so I think it's coming back to really prioritizing how do you move traffic most efficiently. So that's just a solution. But regarding the comments on the legislative side, the state of Idaho, we really do need to focus on transportation funding, roads, bridges. It's imperative. And then the local option tax. Everyone has been talking about it. We've been talking about it for years. And I think this year at the state legislature, you're going to see the people saying we've got to address the tools.
I hope they don't screw that up, because if you think about it, down in Utah, when local option tax passed, it's a rural tool. It's a rural tool. You have little rural communities that have no other way to raise money to do anything. They control what happens in their own money. They raise taxes for a specific purpose. But if it comes out across our state as a great state of Ada and Canyon County tool that, hey, we're shoving a new tax out, this thing will go down in flames, but it really is a rural tool. Rural communities need it more than we do. Kevin, you better keep us on track.
No, I'm just enjoying this. We could go on and on about growth, and there are issues of education that I'd like to talk about, but Mayor Nicholas, your thoughts. We haven't heard from you in a while concerning growth and how to deal with it and how to pay for all the roads that we have. And of course, I'm sure you hear about it when people, it used to be the community would be 10 minutes and now it's 20, sir.
Well, partnerships are key to anything, and having a good relationship with the development community is essential. But there's other things, too, that we can do. Part of it is planning. Where do you locate your uses, and how do you partner with the development community to make sure that you have walking paths, that you have other means of getting from one section to another, neighborhood commercial, so you don't have to get in your car and drive 15, 20 minutes, that those kind of things are available. So there's things that we can do from a planning standpoint. The term is smart growth, I think is still the term, right? And I think the communities are doing that, making parks close, connecting neighborhoods. One of the worst things that we could have ever done back in the day is we had Walmart come to Caldwell along the boulevard, and the subdivision right behind it can't get there. You got to get in your car and drive to get to Walmart because there weren't any walking paths or connection points. That's part of the issue. Now, granted, we've learned from that, and we now require walking paths and open space so that our neighborhoods can get from one to the other. We're, you know, designing schools in more appropriate places so that kids can walk to school instead of having to get on buses. You know, there's so many things that we can do, but the real issue is I don't care how you slice it or dice it, roads are used by everybody. And for me, it's a user fee. It's not a tax. If you're going to drive on the road, then we should expect to pay for that. And if we want to have a better road system, then we have to have a funding mechanism. And granted, there's all kinds of discussion about vehicle miles traveled and all these kind of things. But right now, the only real mechanism we have is fuel tax until that there's a better way to do it and the legislature takes action. And so that is a mechanism. Then, of course, the local option authority. And it's not just for roads. Local option authority, if you go to states around us, I go to the National League of Cities conferences, and I'll hear cities in Wisconsin or other, hey, we did this great housing project, or we did this great medical, you know, project or whatever else. Well, how did you do it? Local option authority. And, you know, it's, again, government partnering with the private sector. And if we don't have those tools available, we can't partner with you. And so that's a key to growth and matching, that is working out those partnerships, trying to maximize and leverage dollars, leverage the tools that we have available, but we have to expand that. And then the last thing is regulation kills us. Over-regulation, whether it's the cost of roads or whatever else, by the time you get a road built, you jump through all the hoops to get it built. If you're using any kind of federal dollars, it's way more expensive. It takes you twice as long as it should. And by the time you build it, it's outdated. So I'm sorry I rattled on there.
So I rarely get so upset that I hang up on a conversation, but I was on a conference call yesterday. We're doing a project, and we're going to need to add about 200 feet of pavement along the highway. And I was with a bunch of building engineers and folks that are giving us pricing, and they said, oh, we've never had a project with ITD that's cost less than $1 million. And I said, stop right there for a minute. Why on God's green earth aren't we talking about what it actually costs to lay down an extra 10 feet along the highway instead of telling me that, oh, there's no other way to do it, it'll be at least $1 million? That's the mentality of ITD. So before we get off transportation, tell us a little bit about ITD, ACHD for you, Mayor Tammy. How do citizens get involved? Because a lot of these things that people rarely understand influence their life, their drive, the way their lifestyle, the way we live. What would be your final advice before we go to a new topic to listeners that are out there that are concerned about traffic and growth and infrastructure? What should they do?
Well, I can tell you that involvement counts. That is the reason that you have 10 Mile Interchange just right outside your window. We had an uprising from our citizens that said, we need another interchange. We need access to I-84. The two busiest interchanges were Meridian Road and Eagle Road. Those are the two that connect to Meridian and a number of other communities. And so our citizens stepped forward, and they let their voices be heard. We had people at ITD board meetings. We had letter writing. We had them speak their voice when you put out the transportation improvement plan for public comment. People got engaged, and we got that interchange when people said we would not have it for another 10 years. That's the difference that people can make. When they have had enough, it can make a difference. And you saw that also in Canyon County with I-84. We get the information out to our citizens. I tell you what, if you're going to email me and you're going to complain about transportation, you get put on a list. And when we have opportunities to exercise our voice, we will email you and say, you are invited to exercise your voice, and here's your opportunity. And people do make a difference. You saw that slowly and incrementally on Chinden, that now we're going to have an expansion to McDermott. Certainly, it's through public-private partnerships as well. But every one of those families that weighed in and said, you need to escalate the improvement on Chinden, every one of those voices counted, because collectively they become noisy. And we like a noisy community because we have to fight for everything we get.
And I so agree with that comment. I will add to it that one thing that's important, I believe it's important for the general public to understand that city government, state, county government, and agencies are not the enemy. A lot is done, and you know this, in development. It's about relationships. Yeah. And we have some amazing people that are doing great work at ITD. And we've been having a lot of discussions about Highway 16 because of a major development that we have coming in. We need that. The key is, though, like you said, we've got to be at the table. We've got to speak up. We've got to share. And so I've heard receptive ears looking at what do we have to shift? How do we do this? How do we get it done? Mm. The other thing is to understand that let's talk Highway 16. That's, if you don't mind me mentioning
it. Let's do it.
So you're talking almost $500 million is what that full build out is going to be. That's massive. We don't have those funds right now. So then you have to look at, well, how do you get there and how long is it going to take to get there, right? And it really needs to be a lot of discussion and collaboration in which way do you build out? Where do you start? How do you get those funds? And there are differing opinions, right? Some say you start at State Street. We say you start at I-84. And why is that? And, you know, as elected officials, many times we're making some tough decisions. And it isn't black and white, right? Mm. Sometimes it's somewhere in the middle there that you've got to figure it out. And not everybody's going to be happy with that decision. The key is that we collaborate and work together. Because, for example, cost-effective growth. We've been doing some studies and looking at what is the most cost-effective growth for long-term sustainability. Well, when you go with medium density, more you grow in instead of sprawl out from a cost-of-service standpoint, the roads and public safety, et cetera, it makes sense, right? Because it costs more the more you sprawl in delivering services out to those areas. However, the citizens are saying, not in my backyard. So you've got this gray.
They never say that.
Gee, no, right? So then how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
Right? So it's not in my backyard, and yes, we need to grow. So as we look at transit-oriented communities, right, to get there, because we're car-centric in Idaho, still in the Treasure Valley. I can't speak for Caldwell, but I would think you're a lot like Nampa, and that is most people want their car. And they don't see the funding, the city funding going to public transportation as a real high priority. So it's a very interesting dynamic that is not really easy to figure out, but it takes us working together.
Can you give us just a short answer? I've been dying to ask each of you this, because Mayor Nankolas, how long have you been mayor?
21 years.
21 years. Mayor Tammy?
As mayor,
yeah.
I'm headed into my 16th year.
16th year, and Mayor Kling, we know just recently, but you've been serving
months.
In Napa forever, right? 11 months. But one of the questions, one of the best questions I think out there, if you look at Idaho, what makes us Idaho? You think of Idaho, and it'll evoke emotions and images and why you love being here. Let me ask each of you, with all this growth, with all the people moving in, with all the changes that are coming our way, with now marijuana right on our border, with Californian here every blink and another one comes, how do we keep Idaho, Idaho, while we still grow and harness the economic power that comes from growth? Because there's no doubt great things that come from growth, but how do we keep Idaho, Idaho?
Well, a really wise man once told me that the main thing is to keep the main thing, right? And so for me, the reason I love Idaho is because of its values. You know, Idaho is an area that values family. Family is the most important unit in society, and it's recognized here. And so if you recognize that that is what makes the world go round, that when families succeed, cities succeed, states succeed, the nation succeeds, And then you develop your policies and your funding mechanisms around that. If you're making decisions that says at the end of this day, whether it's education or transportation or recreation or job creation or economic development, and what we're doing today is we're investing money in families, then we will succeed. And Idaho has done a really remarkable job of that. Now, that's not to mention, you look at we got snow and mountains and this beautiful scenery and the people here. I mean, that's Idaho.
That's
agriculture.
You're sitting in Meridian.
Well, no, Meridian's in Idaho. Meridian's in Idaho.
That's
but
great.
But that's the reason. I mean, it's for me, I'm sorry, you said short answer, but
that's a great answer.
That's the passion that drives me.
I would echo the values, but also still that small town feel. No matter how big we get, I know all of us are focused on keeping that small town character of accessibility, of focus on the family, of values, and maintaining the access to our great outdoors. I think those things really draw people here. I'm a fourth generation Idahoan, and those are the things that kept us here when we could have been drawn out of state that said, no, this is home. Idaho has quite the ring to it. But keeping focused on what we need to continue to treasure and be good stewards of.
You know, and I so agree with your comments. And Marinette Colas, I agree at family. It's those core values of what makes us who we are. And, you know, we're not going to maintain those core values if we silently sit in our homes and don't vote. We don't get engaged. We don't use our voice. We need to purpose and plan around the core value of family. People matter. Individuals matter. I think the fact that neighbors still help neighbors, when you walk down the street, you still have a smile on your face and you greet someone. Mm-hmm. When someone has a car problem on the side of the road, you've got people stopping that care because we care. Because and the next generation, every decision I know that I'm making, and my guess is you guys too, that every decision we make is going to impact the next generation. What are we leaving for the next generation in 20 years and 30 years and 40 years? And we need to care about that. It's not about us. It's really about what we leave in the future and our kids.
The podcast Inspiring Excellence, what inspires you? Just a quick, short answer. And then I've got the hardball for Mayor Tammy. So we've got a good one for you coming up that you all appreciate. But what inspires you, sir?
Well, I think I already said it. We have the privilege of raising our grandchildren. We have a 14-year-old in our home that we've had since she was two and an 8-year-old that we've had since she was born. I have two wonderful children. I have a son and a daughter, and they inspire me. And what I mean by that is if I can look in the mirror at the end of the day and like the guy that I'm looking back at because I know that what we're leaving behind is going to be better for them than the way I found it, that inspires me. And again, it blends over into every decision we make, every action we take, every goal we set, every dream we have. We need to leave behind us a better place than what we had when we got here. That inspires me. Every time I go home, they call me Dada, which is half daddy, half grandpa. And they say, Dada, I love you, or Dada, downtown is beautiful, or Dada, the lights are great. That inspires me.
I think what inspires me outside my family, everyone that knows me knows I get emotional every time I talk about my family, is the collaboration that happens in our community. It's so much a feeling of partnership and that giving attitude. That inspires me greatly. And that is what really has made things happen in the city of Meridian. It's public-private partnerships. It's nonprofits stepping up. It's the faith community, understanding the huge role they play. It's the generosity of our people. It's that collaboration and that involvement, that civic involvement and awareness that keeps me going. And the fact that I actually get to see things get built. We see it in concept and then you see it in reality. And that's pretty cool.
Mm. You know, and I'm always inspired. It's the same thing. Of course, it's family. It's my children. It's my grandchildren. But it's the next generation. It's the people. It's the care, as I said a little bit ago. It never ceases to inspire me and put a smile on my face when I spend time with kids, our youth, and hear of the wonderful things that our community does, the kindness that they exhibit to one another and the care that they have.
Well, we appreciate that. I think we're almost done here, Tom.
Yeah. Do we get to say something? Is that how this works?
That's the pitch, yes, to you.
Okay, we'll get better at this. I just want to thank you all. I mean, local government to me is the trenches. That's where it happens, right? That's neighbor to neighbor. It's they're talking to you about roads and their families and their needs. There are the list of questions we had. We talk about the challenges that are there that you face every day for us. So we just want to say thank you. I think you look around at the local leadership we have and what it takes to commit yourself, put yourself out there, take the good and the bad that comes with being public servants. And we just love you and appreciate you. Thank you for being on the inaugural show. Hopefully this isn't the last one.
No, I think we're good for a few more. We'll work on getting renewed already. I can work on that for you.
Unless your hardball causes.
Is this what you're saving for the end, Kev?
That'll be the next time. That'll be the next time. Because we've covered transportation, but education is such a hot button issue. But I believe we'll have to do that next.
Yeah.
To be continued, if you three will agree to come back.
We'd be honored to.
Love to.
That's the key. Get them to agree to come back.
Got it.
All right. This has been Inspiring Excellence. Have a great day and inspire someone, everybody.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.